Hello, welcome to the Girl and Duck podcast. I'm Jen Storer, acclaimed children's book author and chief inspirationalist. That's not a term I made up. At girlandduck.com, creative writing, creative life. At Girl and Duck, I take you on a journey from exploring the art of kidlit creation right through to mastering the art of kidlit creation. To find out more about the courses and products that I offer, pop over to the website. You're bound to find inspiration and support and something to absolutely love over there. That's www.girlandduck.com. But in the meantime, stick around because we've got lots to talk about. I was just walking past the bookcase and I saw a book sitting there that I re-bought this book a few months ago. It's called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jeffers. And I had a copy of it back in the day when it first came out and I lost it, of course. I probably lent it to somebody. And now this is the 20th anniversary edition. So it's been around for a long time, this dear little book. And there are, of course, countless self-help and personal development books on the market now, and there were a lot back then. It was more of a burgeoning market back then. But sometimes it really pays to go back to the classics and go back to the ones that really worked, like really moved you forward and moved your life. And so I thought I might just chat about this little book for a few minutes. The reason that I bought it, that I re-bought it and wanted to revisit it, is because for a long time I've been playing with the idea of creating some kind of self-care course for writers and illustrators, some sort of, you know, course that addresses some of the more, you know, the emotional and psychological needs that we have when we're creating. But I haven't quite been able to convince myself of my qualifications to do that. I don't want to cross into territory that I have no business poking my nose around in, you know. I'm happy to coach and be a life coach. I'm happy to sit in that zone. But when it comes to, you know, making courses around this stuff and you know, I don't know. I just see a lot of it out there in the online business world. A lot of people, you know, poking their noses in where I don't think they're fully qualified or experienced to be yet. I don't know. I don't like sitting in judgment like that. It sounds really sort of harsh. But yeah, I for myself, I just like to tread carefully in that and in that zone. So for instance, in my picture book course, 4 weeks to write a picture book, there is a bonus section about self-care in there where I go through a few things that have really helped me, because the reason that I do that in the picture book course is because you know, people suffer. They're creating and creating and creating and getting rejected and rejected and rejected, and that knocks the wind out of your sails. You know, it's a big blow to your self-esteem, to your creativity, to your ability to keep going. And so when I did the PB course, I decided to put this little bonus thing in there. And the other thing is that when you're an aspiring or even an established picture book author, you get rejected more, right? You get rejected even more than a novelist because you can produce more. And so you can submit more often. And so it's nothing to get multiple rejections in 1 year, whereas a novelist might get one or two, whereas a picture book author might get 12. See what I'm saying? It's tough. So I did this bonus section in the PB course about self-care and about dealing with the inner critic. And I go through, I look at EFT, I look at confirmation bias. I even created a little parable, a little story, which I then sort of set to illustrations and did the voiceover for it, sort of, you know, like a parable sort of thing. Convincing people to keep going, really, and convincing people to be comfortable with their first, second, third, and fourth, even shitty attempt. Okay. So I did that, and I did that in the PB course. But anyway, getting back to feel the fear and do it anyway. Why did I go back to that book? Because I've got a gazillion books in this zone. Of course I have. I've been a personal development junkie forever, and then I became a life coach. And so, you know, I upped the ante even more with more information and more reading and more podcasts and more practical experience in the zone as well. And then I became a businesswoman, which is, as everybody knows who's got a biz, an online business, it's a personal development boot camp. It's super, super tough. From the outside looking in, it can look very smooth and easy, but trust me, it's not easy. Because there's, you have to do so many things that are foreign to you. You have to sell, you have to be visible, you have to be constantly visible, you have to hold space for strangers, understand strangers, put yourself in their position. You have to, there's a million things you have to do when you're running an online business, apart from all the mechanics of it. So again, personal development boot camp. So I thought I'd go back to feel the fear and refresh myself with that little book because it was so helpful to me. And that's just the little story that I want to share with you today. So I noticed that this book was published in 1987, but my Night of the Soul, Dark Night of the Soul, came in around 1994. So this book had obviously been out for a while when I hit rock bottom, but it was a really tough time for me. I was married and I had an 8-month-old baby, and we had moved from Melbourne to Brisbane, and we had been in our house for 2 nights when our marriage split apart and my husband left. And it's, unless you've been through something like that, it's pretty hard to capture that. Just the devastation and the pain and the terror of, you know, what to do and where to go and how to survive day to day, let alone carve a life, a new life. So it was a tough time for me. It was also the making of me, and I am so grateful that I went through that. It was when I grew up, and it was so important. And I'm always really grateful to my ex-husband for doing it and even for doing it in the brutal way that he did do it. We're friends again now, and we're grown-ups, you know, but at the time it was absolutely devastating, and I was crushed. And here I am in this, you know, this city with no friends and a house, you know, with boxes around me and a little baby and no job and just, you know, didn't know what I was going to do. So I dived into spirituality and I dived into personal development and self-help. You know, the books that a lot of academics and that poo-poo. So I just think that a lot of people who poo-poo self-help books really haven't been to hell. Because once you go to hell, it's very humbling and you will reach for things that will help you get through. So Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway was the book that helped me get through. It was the book that helped me rebuild my life. And one of the reasons why was, one, it was so conversational. Two, it was very small. Three, it was incredibly friendly and uplifting. And four, it was practical. And this is the whole thing about these sorts of things. We can pontificate, we can read the philosophy, we can, you know, get academic understandings of all these things. But until we actually put the advice into practice, it's all just in our heads. And the changes are not necessarily going to take place. And they're certainly not going to take place within a acceptable time frame. We can spin our wheels in the mud of intellectualizing things for many, 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 many years, decades even. So one of the little tasks in Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway that really helped me move forward with my life was the pain to power chart. And so if you're feeling stuck and you're going round and round in circles and you're feel like you're not moving forward with your life, it could be a useful thing for you to visit. It's not going to suit everybody, but it might be something that you could find useful. And the pain to power chart was basically, so I made it out of butcher's paper and stuck it on my bedroom wall. And it had me where I was on, you know, at that point in a lot of pain. And it had a linear line going straight across to the other side where I was living a wonderful life and I was healed and I was moving on, right? And then every day, every single day, I had to take one step, one positive step towards the power side. One positive step. Now that might be as simple as menu planning. That's how broken I was. You know, I had to menu plan first thing in the morning when I had energy because I knew by the evening I would be too exhausted from grief to be able to eat and to be able to care properly for my child. So at the beginning of the day, I would do meal planning, and that would move me forward just a little step on the pain to power path. Okay. And then as I got stronger, I joined the gym. And that was an outing for me, and my little baby could come with me and I would do a workout and he would go into care and then we would have a swim in the pool at the end. Pain to power, another step forward, and also fantastic for me physically and mentally to be doing that, you know, 5 days a week. So again, taking these strategic steps towards the power end. And then it was about getting help, getting therapy and going into therapy which absolutely revolutionized everything for me because I had support, I had a safe place to talk about what was going on. And, you know, it was just as therapy is and can be, it was life changing. Again, I was so lucky to fall on my feet in terms of the therapist that I honestly believe that God or the goddess or somebody put me with her because it was so perfect. And she helped me see the future. She helped me play with different scenarios. She gently guided me when I was perhaps projecting a lot of stuff onto, you know, making decisions about futures that I was dreaming up but probably weren't particularly practical. about where I might go next with my life. And in the end, at the end of all those sessions, I think I did 10 sessions with her, I had a clearer vision of what I wanted to do, which was return to Melbourne, enroll in university, do a degree in literature, embrace the part of me that had been denied for 30 years. And that, of course, then led to everything. It led to everything. And it healed me and it strengthened me and it empowered me. And it really was, I really did move from pain to power. And of course, it wasn't linear. There were lots of loopholes and detours and backtracking and lots of doubt, and so much personal growth went on during that time. And as we all know, personal growth is never linear. It's always, it always loops and peaks and troughs and moves forward in a very clunky manner. But it the whole idea was about focusing on moving forward. And so that helped me get completely unstuck and keep moving and rebuild my life and rebuild who I was. And it helped me reinvent myself entirely. So I just am eternally grateful to that little book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. I know that Susan Jeffers has now passed away, veiled to a very, very beautiful woman who changed many lives and helped millions of people around the world with her honesty and her bravery, and inspired so many of us to build bigger, better, braver, more satisfying, fulfilling lives. So that's the little book that I wanted to share with you today, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. Dynamic Techniques for Turning Fear, Indecision and Anger into Power, Action and Love. Definitely one of my favorite. It says on the bottom here, more than 2 million copies sold, and it came out in 1987, so it's still incredibly wise. And as I said at the beginning, it's practical, and that is why it works, you know, because we have to do the things in order to move forward. So I wanted to share that with you today. Okay, bye for now. Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want more ducky goodness, pop over to the website www.girlandduck.com, or you can find me on Instagram at Jen E. Storer, J-E-N-E-S-T-O-R-E-R. Bye for now.